Chapter 3. The whole estate was lit with enchanted gaffer's glass, baubles of enchanted glass shining in muted colors of blue, pink, and orange. A good thing, for if Alvy had beheld the estate in the full light of the sun, she might have fainted. Magicians were wealthy individuals, and magician Marion Praff was well esteemed in his field. But this? It's a palace, she muttered as the automobile pulled up the drive. Gabled and conical roofing, bricked and tiled walls, and so many windows. She began counting those windows, her mind spinning with the growing number. Goodness, it had to be at least one window per 25 square feet of wall. And she thought she could see enchantments on some of them, perhaps to color the sunlight coming in, or to magnify the view. The chauffeur snorted.
Hardly, but it is bloody giant.
He parked the automobile, but left the engine running, then came around to open Alvy's door. She stepped out, marveling.
Come on now, the driver said as he grabbed her suitcases. There'll be plenty of time for that.
She nodded and followed him, only to notice the elaborate tiled path under her feet. Not ceramic tile. The glint of each square piece was metallic, and they shifted before her eyes, swirling in a dance of copper, silver, and gold. They stilled a few feet before the chauffeur stepped on them and held their positions as Alvy crossed. Glancing over her shoulder, she noticed the tile shifting once more about 5 feet behind her, like a river of metal that iced over at the approach of footsteps. It stole her breath away. There were magicians in Columbus, but she'd never seen such a display. It must have cost a fortune. Gaffer lights hung around every door and window, glimmering an ever-changing pattern of blue, pink, and orange, like the Capitol grounds at Christmas time. There was a running fountain in the middle of a circular brick drive made for carriages. It was built of stone, but Alvy could make out a plastic form over its tiers. Polymaking? Did the plastic push the water up without pumps? Did it keep it cool, hot? Did it change the pattern in which it rose and fell? There were so many possibilities, and it made Alvy itch that she couldn't immediately decipher how the material had been used. Perhaps if she got closer, how much study would it take to be able to make such forms? The chauffeur cleared his throat, and Alvy turned back to him, finally noticing the row of servants standing outside the door, all looking straight ahead at nothing in particular. It took another moment for Alvy to realize they'd lined up for her. Coming out from the front door was a regal-looking man in a green uniform, with a stiff collar and modest coattails, a polymaker's uniform. Alvy knew from his biography that he was 39 years old, but he looked younger. He was 6 feet tall, perhaps 6'1", and had short, dark hair, neatly parted to skirt his forehead, a straight nose, and eyebrows that pointed at the top. Clean-shaven as of that morning, judging by the stubble coming in on his lip and jaw, Alvy realized she was staring at magician Marion Praff and subsequently kicked herself in the ankle.
"Welcome, Miss Breckenmacher, is it?"
He even said her name correctly. Alvy glanced at the pristine-looking woman beside him. His wife? She looked to be in her late 30s. Yes, sir. It's an honor. Magician Praff smiled and extended his hand. He had a firm grip. Alvy tried to return it, but her limbs were suddenly overcooked noodles. The woman beside him said, "We were concerned something might have happened to you, dear." "Oh," Alvy pulled her hand back and twisted it in the other. "I'm so sorry. I was perfectly on time. That is, I followed the schedule exactly and made all of the mirrors and the boats and the train, but I got off at the wrong station. I wasn't paying attention to the engineer, and a man told me where to get off, but he was mistaken, and I was too dumb in the head to figure it all out until..." Magician Praff laughed.
"Quite all right. Miss Breckenmacher, this is my wife, Charlotte."
Mrs. Praff offered a small curtsy, not a hand. Was Alvy supposed to curtsy back? She attempted to.
"You've had a long journey," Magician Praff motioned to one of the men standing in the stiff line outside the door. A footman, Alvy guessed. Without direction, he took the luggage from the chauffeur, who then departed back the way he had come. Alvy realized she hadn't asked his name.
You must be hungry. We've already dined, but we had something set aside for you.
Thank you. So much. She swallowed. I've read all about you, Magician Praff. I really am honored to be under your, tutelage. She did not sound nearly as elegant as she had when practicing this speech in her mirror before leaving Ohio. In fact, she couldn't remember the next line. He smiled.
The honor is all mine.
He offered his elbow. Alvy hesitated, then took it, which must have been the right thing, for Magician Praff glided over to the row of servants and introduced them one by one. The housekeeper, the butler, another footman, two maids. When the butler, Mr. Hemsley, looked down at her slacks, his brow knit together so tightly the two lines of hair became one. Perhaps slacks weren't the height of women's fashion in London, either.
We've three children, Magician Praff continued as he led his wife and Alvy into the house through the,
vestibule, Alvy thought it was called.
A large, unblemished mirror hung on the right wall, and the walls were painted forest green with gold trim. Lucas is studying abroad in Tokyo, of all places, and Maximus is at university. Our youngest, Martha, is recently married and has moved to the country. She's just a couple years your junior.
18 and already married.
Not that it was uncommon. It was just that Alvy had only been on one date her entire life, to a dance after graduating from secondary school, and she'd never so much as kissed a man, let alone been proposed to. She had the nagging feeling she and the polymaker's daughter were very different vegetables, as opposed to peas in a pod. That was the analogy to which she was referring, for herself. Magician Praff gave her a personal tour, his wife departing after the housekeeper whispered something to her. Being alone with Magician Praff made Alvy more nervous, but as they walked from room to room, to room to room to room, Alvy gained a little more confidence, though she was still awed by the vastness of the house. Some ceilings had murals of cherubs or gardens painted on them. Others had mantles decorated with elaborate wreaths of paper art, which Alvy thought funny, being near a fire and all. Perhaps a pyre had enchanted the flames not to burn paper. There were sofas galore and more chairs than windows, and each room had different carpeting and colored walls and fancy carvings on pillars and in corners. Alvy was sure the latter style had a specific architectural name, but curse her study, she couldn't fathom what it might be, and thus she didn't remark on it. Down there is the observatory, and this is the servants' hall, so you needn't trouble yourself with this area, at least, Magician Praff told her.
Are there many servants? Was that a strange question to ask?
Just enough to cover the needs of the estate. You met the main staff outside.
Magician Praff turned her around toward the stairs.
Briar Hall once belonged to a viscount, but the economy was not kind to him, and so it's in my family's name, though we have no formal title.
Magician?
No title with the aristocracy, he amended. They crested the stairs and took a turn. One of the maids from outside,
Emma,
waited by the door to a room, a very tall door. When Alvy and Magician Praff approached, she opened the door and stood inside. This is the green room, one of our guest chambers, Magician Praff explained. I thought it an appropriate choice for you. He gestured to his green uniform.
Alvy stepped in and ogled.
It was a large room with a very high ceiling. She couldn't fathom the purpose of such a high ceiling. Etched vines traced its periphery. A large bowl-shaped light hung from the center, its glass stained to look like leaves. The large bed, pressed up against the far wall, had a canopy with pale green curtains and blankets bearing a golden sheen. There was a nightstand to the left of it, and a bench at the foot of it. Atop the nightstand sat a bright pyre glass lamp, the brightest sort of magic lamp, the kind that burned with magic-fueled flame on the inside and glowed with gaffer's glass on the outside. This one emitted a golden white light. Above the bed's headboard hung a bronze-framed painting of a forest littered with poppies. All the bedroom walls were painted the palest green, and darker green curtains covered what Alvy presumed to be a large window, and she itched to see the view. By the window was a strange piece of furniture she'd never seen before, which looked to be half bed and half sofa, for lounging when one didn't wish to muss the bed cover. A smooth cherrywood desk sat just near the door. Alvy supposed the mirror atop it made it double as a vanity. And then there was a random tuffet-like thing in the space between the furniture. Alvy wasn't entirely sure what to do with that. "It's lovely," she said. And that was the truth, for the room was grander than anything in her own home, as well as the dorm she had stayed in at the Jefferson School, and she had thought its furnishings fine. She looked down, admiring the complex floral patterns on the dark green carpet. "Brandon brought up your things," Emma said, and Alvy recalled Brandon was the name of the footman who had taken her suitcases. "With your permission, I can hang up your clothes." She gestured to a closet nearby that Alvy hadn't seen. Goodness, it was its own room! A closet one could walk into. How unnecessarily fancy. Yes, thank you. Magician Praft gestured toward the door. "As I said, there's a meal waiting for you, but if you're weary, we can ring to have it brought up here." He pointed to a cord on the wall near the bed. Did that go into the servants' quarters? Alvy would feel guilty ever ringing that, but the enormity of the house and her recent adventure across the Atlantic was beginning to clog her brain. So she nodded, and Emma hurried over and rang the bell. "If I may ask," the polymaker said, "have you ever considered getting enchanted lenses?" Alvy looked at him. It took her a second to realize he meant her glasses. "They are enchanted, sir." A gaffer's spell etched into the corner of each lens let the glass morph on its own if her prescription ever changed, and helped make them thinner as well. He blinked in surprise. "Do mind?" He held out a hand. Shifting on her feet, Alvy grasped her glasses and pulled them off. The room turned into a blur of green. Magician Praft blended into it surprisingly well. "Goodness, they are!" She gathered he was looking at the gaffer etchings on the side of the giant lenses. "Do you mind if I fiddle with these just for a moment?" Alvy could barely tell if Magician Praft was looking at her, but she didn't want to deny her mentor whatever plan he had, not when she had arrived so late to his house, and he had given her such a nice room. She nodded, and her tutor, Master, left the room, taking her ability to see with him. Someone else arrived, for Emma instructed the newcomer to bring in Alvy's dinner. Alvy's stomach gurgled in anticipation, reminding her that she hadn't eaten in some time. "Do you want the slacks hung with the skirts?" Emma asked. Whatever you think is best. I usually keep them in drawers." She reached for the chair blur at the desk, pulled it out, and sat, closing her eyes to turn off the disorientation of unaided sight. Emma continued to work silently, and Alvy wondered if she was supposed to talk to her, or ignore her, or what. She'd never had servants before, and half the time she couldn't tell where the maid went, except for the sounds of footsteps and shuffling. Eventually, another black-and-white blur arrived, or perhaps returned. There was no way of knowing for certain if this was the same servant from before, and set a tray on the desk in front of her. Alvy squinted, trying to determine what was being served. She punctured something with her fork and popped it in her mouth. Chicken. Very delicious chicken. "All done," Emma announced when Alvy was 3 bites into her meal. "Do you need anything else? Help undressing?" Alvy choked on her food. Swallowed. No, thank you." The Emma blur bobbed and left. Alvy picked her way through some sort of savory pudding and what she thought were cinnamon pears. A knock sounded at the door. "Yes, come in." A green blur entered, and Magician Praft said, "Here we are. I think I calculated it right." He held his hands out, and Alvy awkwardly grabbed his fingers before she found her glasses. She slipped them on, and the world became blissfully crisp once more. She noticed a distinct lightness to her frames. She touched the arms of the glasses and then pulled the glasses off, put them back on.
I'm sorry, what did you do? I can't tell without the things on.
He smiled. Plastic lenses. Alvy gaped, tapped her nail on the lens. It was almost glass-like. Plastic lenses. We don't have those in the States.
They're relatively new, presented at the Discovery Convention last year. They're much lighter than glass, but at this point in time, also much more expensive. You'll find very few optometrists willing to sell them.
Alvy moved her head back and forth, savoring the lack of pain the spectacles caused her ears. These are wonderful. Thank you.
He set a small cloth bundle on the desk. These are your old lenses. I'm pleased you like the new ones. I haven't had many people to experiment on.
Alvy straightened, stood. Speaking of experiments, sir, Magician Praff, am I to do the bonding tonight? It felt like loose ribbons danced in her belly. Alvy hadn't actually bonded to plastic yet, which meant she could do nothing magical with it, though she was familiar with it thanks to her basic material mechanics and history of material classes at Jefferson. After she bonded, she would never have the opportunity to cast spells with any other material. A bonding was for life.
I promise to bond you in the morning and show you the polymery.
Alvy clasped her hands together. You have your own polymery?
How large would the lab be in an estate this extravagant?
Her skin buzzed with excitement.
Of course, and you will be welcome to use it, starting tomorrow. We'll conduct your first lesson as well, if you're up for it.
I will be, sir. I'd be up for it right now. He smiled.
I do not doubt you. I admit I'm eager to begin. You seem much more enthusiastic than my last apprentice. He was a bit of a dullard.
Alvy didn't know what to say, so she merely nodded.
I can send someone for the tray if you're finished.
Alvy eyed her food, which she could now see. It looked like a child had picked through it. Not yet. I can, ring the bell?
Magician Praff nodded. Until morning, then. Good night.
Alvy smiled, and Magician Praff departed, closing the door behind him. Alvy awoke to a face full of blanket and a sweet voice saying her name. Miss Alvy? She startled awake, blinking sunlight and blurry room from her vision, wiping her forearm across her mouth in case she had drooled. It took her a few seconds to realize where she was. Somewhat oriented, she fumbled for her nightstand and grabbed her glasses. Emma stood at the foot of the bed.
So sorry to disturb you, but Mrs. Praff thought it best to check on you.
Oh, she looked at the brightness of the window. Emma must have parted the curtains.
Oh,
she searched for a clock and found none. What time is it?
9:15.
Alvy slipped her hands beneath her new plastic lenses and rubbed her eyes. Sleeping in on her first day as an apprentice, she shuffled to the edge of the bed and slid off the mattress, but her foot caught in the sheet and she tumbled onto the floor. Emma grasped her shoulders and helped her up.
Are you quite all right?
The maid released her and took a step back. Alvy blew a mass of brown hair away from her face and straightened her glasses.
Oh, yes.
Apparently it was answer enough, for Emma turned back for the closet. What would you like to wear today? Alvy followed her, her bare feet dragging on the carpet.
Well, I'm going to the polymery today, doing my lessons. Hopefully some real work, so slacks and a shirt.
A preference to your shirt?
Emma entered the closet and returned with two of Alvy's blouses on hangers, a white one and a lavender one.
Alvy pointed to the second. Emma set it in a pair of black slacks on the foot of Alvy's bed, then set about straightening the coverlet for her.
I can do that. Emma smiled. It's what I'm here for. You want help dressing?
Alvy hadn't had help dressing for 15 years.
No.
Emma fluffed a pillow and tucked the blankets like a professional, then turned back to Alvy. How about your hair?
Alvy pinched some of the frizzy waves in her fingers.
Oh, there's not much that can be done with this.
I have a serum we could try to smooth out the waves.
Oh, if I'm working today, I thought I'd just put it up.
What style would you like?
Not styled?
Emma smiled patiently.
Alvy tended to get a lot of patient smiles like that.
If you change your mind, just ring the bell. Do you need anything else?
No.
Emma nodded, offered a small curtsy, and left the room. Alvy noted that the room didn't have a lock, but servants usually knocked, right? At least when their charges weren't unconscious. She grabbed the lavender blouse and stepped over to a long mirror nailed to the wall just outside the closet. Her hair was a lopsided, frizzy mess, as it usually was in the morning. Her glasses took up most of her face, which had never been especially pretty. At least Alvy didn't think so, and she was certain the boys in secondary school and at the Jefferson School agreed. She did, however, have a nice figure. Her mother had said so, anyway. Alvy grabbed the seams of her nightgown and pulled them back to see it better, then tugged the gown off and dressed, cinching the waistband of her slacks at her navel and donning a pair of gray shoes with low heels. Alvy couldn't walk forward or backward in high heels, and she had never dared to attempt sideways. Fortunately, she wasn't short enough to really need them. After twisting her hair up into a bun and tying her apron, Alvy creaked the door open and peered up and down the large hallway, with its fancy carpet and dim, magical lights. She only vaguely remembered where everything was from yesterday. It had been a very long tour. She thought that perhaps she recalled where the kitchen was, so she might as well venture out for breakfast. Or was there a special room for breakfast? She couldn't remember. Slipping from her room, she walked slowly and took in her surroundings, enjoying the adventure of navigating the halls. After finding the stairs, she went down two floors and emerged into the main hall, a giant of a room with a ceiling that went up two stories. Morning sunlight shined through domed windows at its top. She turned about for a moment before selecting a door. The music room, with a pianoforte and a harp that looked like it hadn't been used in some time. She began to retreat, but heard a man's muffled voice from the next room. Magician Praff. She crossed the music room and opened the door, finding a narrow hallway. Another door was cracked open across from her. The salon, if she remembered right. She pulled the door open and peeked in. The only occupant of the room, which was furnished with cream-colored chairs and a matching sofa, was Magician Praff, who stood in the far corner near a large, pristine mirror and elaborate candelabra. In the mirror was the image of an English woman, perhaps in her late 40s. Her hair was a similar color to Alvy's, but it was stick straight and pulled back in a painfully tight bun. Silver spectacles, small and dainty, sat on the bridge of her nose. She wore a dark brown dress suit with a stiff collar and had her hands clasped behind her back. "Paperwork is finished, and I expect things to go well," Magician Praff said. The woman in the mirror nodded. "I'm glad to hear it. We're striving to increase our foreign diplomacy, for lack of a better word, through these exchanges. I'm hoping to get a folding apprentice here in a year or so, after the magician I have in mind is through her confinement." The woman's face turned to Alvy. "Seems we have a guest." Magician Praff turned around. Alvy was about to utter an apology, but he cut her off. "Alvy, you're up. Have you eaten?" She hadn't even brushed her teeth. "Not yet. I thought to find the kitchen, but got lost."
"You'd startle the cook, no doubt. You need only ring the bell."
He waved Alvy into the room. "Let me introduce Magician Patrice Avioski, head of the Board of Education for England's Magician's Cabinet." Oh, she was very important then. Hello? Alvy tried for a curtsy.
"I'm eager to see what you have in store for us, Miss Breckenmacher," Magician Avioski said.
Alvy wondered if she was a gaffer, or if Magician Praff had merely paid a great sum to have a pre-enchanted communication mirror. Her father had promised to invest in one himself after hearing Alvy was moving so far away.
"Polymaking is a new frontier. There is much to learn, much to discover."
Alvy nodded. "I won't disappoint." What if Alvy created a new polymaking spell? Wouldn't that be something? Her papa would poker with glee.
"Oh, Magician Avioski, I have a proposition for you."
Magician Praff turned back to the mirror.
"Alvy arrived late last night. We're doing her bonding this morning. If you have the time, would you like to be the witness?"
Butterflies erupted up Alvi's throat, and she pressed her lips together to keep them from flying out her mouth. Someone from England's magician's cabinet might be acting as her witness. Could this apprenticeship get any better? Magician Avioski thought for a moment before saying, "I think that should work. I can arrive in an hour. It will give Miss Breckenmacher time to eat." "Excellent. I'll see you at the vestibule mirror." Magician Avioski nodded, and her image blurred in a swirl of silver before the mirror stilled, reflecting only Magician Praff and the salon behind him. Later, Alvi ate in the breakfast room by herself, as the family had dined earlier. Magician Praff had left the day's newspaper on the table, so she read that while helping herself to soft-boiled eggs and crumpets. Apparently, another bill had been pushed to ban opposite-sex apprenticeships in England, but it was recently rejected, given that it would hinder new students from completing their apprenticeships if there was a shortage of teachers of either sex. What a relief! Such a thing would have kept Alvi from studying here. Finished and unsure of what to do with the dishes, she left them on the table and wandered out of the breakfast room. The salon was adjacent to it, and a corridor separated the salon from a pretty flower garden, which also opened up to the main hall. She passed the butler, Mr. Hemsley, who eyed her slacks with a cross expression as he walked in the opposite direction. She watched him go, checked her slacks for spilled food, and finding none, continued to the main hall. There wasn't much point to wearing a skirt when the family had already seen her in travel-wrinkled clothes, was there? She had good timing, for the moment she entered the large space, she heard the clicking heels of their visitor. Magician Avioski strode into the great room beside Magician Praff. She was taller than Alvi had supposed, and she carried an air of authority that tied Alvi's tongue in knots, despite the fact that Alvi hadn't been trying to say anything. The best way not to look foolish was to stay silent, so she clasped her hands together and waited for the magicians to approach her. "Ah, Alvi, perfect. This way," said Magician Praff. He led them down a hall that hugged the salon toward the back of the house, past some sort of greenhouse that, yes, looked to be made of plastic. As they approached a large back entrance, one of the footmen spotted them and hurried to open the door. He offered a bow as Alvi passed him. It made her feel far more important than she was. A long path led across a manicured lawn and between two gardens of dwarf trees. It boasted the same shimmering, shifting metal blocks as the one at the front of the house, and the effect was even prettier in the sunlight. Magician Avioski, who did not seem easily impressed, commented on the skill behind the spell. The path ended at a structure about the size of Alvi's home in Columbus. It had a much more robust exterior, made of brick, and each window bubbled out in a plastic dome that let in sunlight while obscuring the view. The preliminary. Alvi's step quickened with anticipation, and she stepped on the back of Magician Avioski's heel. Muttering an apology, Alvi inched over to the edge of the path and ogled the building. This was where she'd be working. This was where she'd make her bond. The bonding. It was happening now. Her blood felt like air inside her veins. If only her parents could be here with her. "Right this way." Magician Praff pulled a key from his pocket. "I always keep it locked. You'll receive a key as well, Alvi, and Mr. Hemsley has one." Magician Avioski said, "You've heard of the Turner break-in, then?" "I have." Magician Praff unlocked the door. "Though it's always been my policy to safeguard my work." Alvi glanced between the two magicians. "Turner break-in?" Magician Praff sighed. "There have been two preliminary burglaries in the last year. The first was at the home of a magician near Liverpool. The second was at the Turner preliminary near Parliament Square, a lab that rents space to polymakers and their apprentices. Neither of which seems successful," Magician Avioski added. "Little was stolen." Magician Praff gestured inside, letting Magician Avioski pass through first and Alvi second. Alvi stepped into air that was almost too warm and smelled strongly of oils, lubricant, and plastic. The foyer was round in shape, with a few smaller rooms branching off from it, and a set of stairs leading to a second floor.
A large plastic mobile hung from the ceiling, and on it spun translucent shapes of circles and triangles, as well as some handcrafted birds and turtles. It turned without wind. There were a few tables and chairs in the large room, and a model skeleton crafted of plastic stood on a plastic stand. It looked real enough to move. There were model boats, model gliders, model automobiles. The door to one of the larger rooms was open, revealing long counters atop drawers and cabinets. A large rectangular island with a granite countertop swallowed the middle of the floor, and a few stools were tucked under its ledge. An array of beakers and tubes took up a great deal of both counter and island space, and there were shelves and scales and vats and other things Alvy couldn't identify. She wanted to know how all of it worked. "This is incredible," she murmured.
"It is." Magician Praff came to her shoulder. "And you will have access to all of it as my apprentice. There is only so much to learn, but a whole world to discover."
Goose flesh danced across Alvy's skin. "Incredible."
"Your enthusiasm is a good sign," Magician Aviaski said. "The sooner we have you bonded, the sooner you'll be able to start your studies. Have you set up everything, Magician Praff?" The polymaker gestured to another side room, this one much smaller. It had a short counter with cupboards beneath, as well as two cupboards attached to the wall. A desk and chair were arranged along the opposite wall, and there was a small workbench with a magnifying glass and some empty vials. One of those bubbled windows let in light.
"This, Alvy, will be your personal workroom." Magician Praff crossed the room's length toward the window, while Alvy grabbed the counter to keep from fainting.
"This is for me? My own space?"
"Of course." Magician Praff pressed his hand to the window and said, "Clarify."
The bubbled window cleared to an almost glass-like transparency. Outside, Alvy saw a well-trimmed hedge, some irises, and the edge of what looked like a garage. She moved to the window, taking in the view, the clear sky, and then the empty workspace that would soon be filled with her own creations, her own knowledge. She could have cried for the joy of it.
"Haze will darken that again, if you prefer." Magician Praff opened one of the high cupboards and pulled from it a short, thick piece of plastic and an easel. He set them both on the counter.
"Here it is, nothing fancy. Polymaking isn't a pretty magic like folding or gaffing, if you'll excuse the description, Magician Aviaski."
The woman simply nodded. I memorized the words. It was a requirement to graduate, memorizing the words that would permanently bond her to plastic, a bond that could never be undone. Her mouth went dry. Magician Praff stepped back.
"Go ahead."
Alvy stepped up to the easel, lifted a hand, and pressed her finger to the cool plastic. She didn't hesitate. This was what she wanted more than anything else. She took a deep breath. "Material made by man, your creator summons you. Link to me as I link to you through my years until the day I die and become earth." The plastic warmed beneath her touch, and heat like a breath flooded her hand and traveled up her arm, cooling somewhere between her shoulder and her collarbone. The plastic tingled against her fingers. She smiled. She was a polymaker.